This
is the producers.
A podcast.
The biggest names in audio production.
Station sound.
Branding.
Radio imaging.
And voiceover.
Voiceover.
Like me.
And me.
Hey. And me.
Bitches.
Interviews.
Tips.
Tricks.
Advice.
Plus the dirty little secrets you always wanted to know.
Or not. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com.
Now.
There's a word I never say in copy.
The producers.
With Ryan Green.
Hey, we do it again. Producers podcast. By the way, does anybody get the joke on my intro there? I sort of purposely made it over the top. Nobody ever said anything to me, and it's probably because people were just generally too nice and they thought that I really meant it to be like that. I was kind of tongue-in-cheek on how crazy we can get in this world, but I don't know. Maybe it just simply isn't funny and I'm an idiot. It's very possible. Let's move on. So I won't take too much time in the intro here. I really don't have too much to discuss. Stu Herrera, the guest. I've been a fan of Stu's for a long time. I really like his style, especially on the voice side of things. And I like to go back and forth talking to, you know, producers, very specifically producers, and then, you know, guys that do a little more of the voice work. Stu's both. He's the imaging producer at KLOS in Los Angeles. He's also a voice of that station and also a promo voice. He does big-time commercial campaigns, national commercial campaigns. He did some trailer work. We'll get into that in the interview. You'll hear all about him. Part one, mostly his background and the radio side of things, KLOS side of things. We do a little more radio in the second part. But we also talk about the trailer world and his work with promo voiceover, other things related to the industry. So we kind of go all over the place in part two. I did intersperse a lot more of his audio throughout this episode. So hopefully you enjoy that. Stu Vox is his website, and we make mention to it possibly not being updated at the end. Well, it is updated. Stewvox.com if you want to be checking out his site. It's not a, it's a standard voice artist website. Not a ton to look at, but you can go see his newly redesigned website. Here is his brand new demo that's up there. Otherwise, future guests, I'll mention them right now. Robert Dudzik, we are definitely going to talk. He has something really special coming. That's basically all I can say. I think it's great, and I think everybody's going to like it, and I really wish I could tell you more about it right now, but I just can't. So for right now, I will say Robert Dudzik will be a guest in the very, very near future, and something special will happen also. Joe D'Agostin will be, he's the Sound Freaks guy. He's one of my favorite effects producers. I mean, I would say right now because I'm using his ID-Fi stuff a lot. But yeah, he's very, very skilled. I think he's a little shy, so I'm going to have to drag some info out of his brain when I talk to him. He'll be a guest coming up soon as well. There's other guests that I've had on my list for a long time that, you know how time is. The other thing I did want to mention before I dive into the Stu Herrera stuff here, I can't remember if I already said it. Facebook.com/prodpod is the Facebook site. It's no big deal. You can like it basically only if you would like to get the updates on this podcast there. I've got an email list. You can join that. I only send out maybe one or two emails a month. Same with the Facebook, but obviously in this day and age, people would rather get their stuff on a feed instead of in emails. So go ahead and join that if you're interested. But I was going to say, I want to get into some more specific like roundtable episodes, and I've been trying to do that in the past. Timing is just so difficult, but I'm really going to put a legitimate effort into getting a couple few people that are very ingrained in a very specific aspect of the business together and talk about things in a group. I don't know when it's going to happen. Like I said, these are very difficult to put together. I still got a job to do. But I'm interested to know what the general public would really like to hear about. So, you know, some people might say they'd like to hear a bunch of trailer voices talk about that world, or television promo voices, or CHR imaging producers, country imaging producers, I don't know, program directors, I don't know. I can't think of all the ideas, but if you've got some good ideas, I'd love to try and put it together. And I'll do something on the Facebook page for that. You can also email me, of course. I get emails all the time, and I absolutely love the emails. But yeah, so there we go. I think that's all I have. Any other notes that I have, I'll mention them at the end of part two. But for now, the one and only Stu Herrera.
Are these Sons of Hollywood's rich and famous ready to be Generation Next? Sons of Hollywood, season premiere Sunday at 10, 9 central on A&E.
Dive into a new season of Big Brother.
Yes!
New house guests, new competitions, and new twists.
This is going to be a show.
The Big Brother season premiere, July 8th, only CBS.
When Vice magazine first started, all we cared about was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But then as we traveled around the world, we got more into news, politics, fashion, art, and the environment. Basically, everything. The Vice Guide to Everything.
How high would you go? How much would you pay? When the lock comes off, it's game on. Storage Wars, season premiere tomorrow at 10, 9 central on A&E.
The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. Join the twins as they turn on the charm.
Hey, beautiful.
And turn the Tipton Hotel into their personal playground.
Whoa!
Catch Big Ten Super Wednesdays all season long on the Big Ten Network.
From the mountains of Japan to the streets of America comes today's hottest underground motorsport, drifting. Formula D, Sundays at 7 p.m., only on G4.
Glory Days, tonight at 10 on TBS. Very funny.
And there it is. Most people listening to this should probably know that voice. It's the one and only Stu Herrera. Hey, Stu, man, thanks for taking the time.
Howdy. Thanks for dialing me up. I was shocked. I was amazed. I'm like, what? Somebody wants to talk to me?
You're one of the guys that I had requested, and honestly, I probably would have interviewed you a while ago, but I just finally got hooked up. I think finally. Now, you know what? I realized that we work for the same company, and I thought, well, hey, how about I just email them that way?
Which, and hopefully we'll continue working for a same company soon.
And it may or may not start with C. Stu Herrera does plenty of promo voice work, so a lot of people will be familiar with him there, but a lot of people are familiar with your production work as well. You're at KLOS in LA as we speak, in fact.
Correct.
I guess, you know, I want to hit on your background a little bit, but personally, I'm more fascinated with the day-to-day stuff and then, of course, talking about your skills. But, yeah, let's start, you know, basically in a nutshell, why the hell are you doing radio?
Well, you mean, like, why am I still doing radio?
Well, how about this? Why the hell did you start doing radio? And then we'll figure the other one out in a minute.
Well, radio kind of happened for me. You know, I was always interested in it as a kid. Looking back, it's easy to, like, oh, like, point out these little, you know, moments in my life, like, oh, okay, that leads up to radio, like from my first Fisher-Price little, you know, record player playing Camp Town Races in my bedroom over and over to fascination with music and rock, you know, records and stuff, DJing my little, you know, junior high dances. And in college, I got into I really wasn't concerned with what my requirements were to get a degree. I was interested, like, wow, they have studio recording classes with a full 2-inch tape and 24-track board. I want to take that. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, I was also interested in taking radio courses. So, you know, what wound up happening was I just sort of took those two worlds and mushed them together. I had jobs in music. I was running sound at the Troubadour in L.A., and I was working independently, also running around town doing sound for bands and stuff. And it's kind of funny. There's this moment. I was also doing an internship at KNAC, a production internship. And KNAC down in Long Beach was, if you'd heard of it, it's a pretty legendary radio station. We played Iron Maiden all day and Slayer all night. And we were like the first radio station pretty much to do that.
What time period are we talking about right now?
Oh, this was 88.
Okay.
That I had kind of transitioned out of the Troubadour and just kind of had my... you know, this internship at KNAC. And my phone rang one day, and I remember it woke me out of bed. It was a late morning. And the guy on the other end says, hey, I represent this band called Southern Pacific. I'm their tour manager, and I don't think I'd heard of the band, but as soon as he said, yeah, well, one of the guys that's in the band is a guy named Stu Cook, I immediately perked up because CCR was always my favorite band of all time, and Stu Cook was the bass player. And he said, you know, word's getting around town that you're, you know, pretty good behind the board, and we need somebody to jump on a plane like today, go down to Florida and join us on the road, you know, for mixing live sound and stuff. And it seems to me they wanted me to be like a stage manager.
Yeah.
So I kind of quickly realized in my head, I'm like, God, oh my God, this is incredible. But I also realized, like, wow, if I do this, like, my internship at KNAC will be over. And not only was that a really fun internship, a good place to be for trying to get into radio, it was just a lot of fun, because KNAC was at the epicenter of this scene in LA at that time. So I said to the guy, let me call, I'll call you right back. Is it okay if, like, can I have an hour? And he said, yeah, sure, man. Gave me his number. I called up my dad, talked to him about it for a little while, and I decided, screw it, I'm gonna do this, because, you know, when is this gonna come again? So I called the guy back and I left him my info, you know, and stuff, and told him, yeah, I'm down, you know, tell me where and when to go. And I never heard from him again.
Really?
So kind of by default, I just kept going down the radio road, and that's...
Man.
How I got it.
Do you think you have any regrets about that? I mean, like, you know, do you look back and go, damn it, I should have just said yes instantly? Or are you cool with the way that the path, everything went?
Yeah, I'm pretty cool with it. I mean, yeah. I do wonder, I think about that episode. It actually comes up frequently. And I think I told this story in print not too long ago either. And I not really. I mean, sometimes when I hang out with, you know, guys out on the road and stuff, I get a little wistful and I kind of wonder what could have been. But
yeah.
Hell, what could have been was like deafness, drug addiction.
I mean, yeah,
herpes.
I mean, you might not be alive.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not one of those guys that likes to look back and go, what if? So it's kind of good to hear that you aren't sitting there going, you know, what if? Yeah.
No, this is all good. Even on my worst day at, you know, in radio, I don't think I ever think to myself, God, I should have just said yes right then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've done pretty well. I really have.
And you know, you're one of the lucky ones. I mean, I consider myself to be a lucky one, but, you know, you've got to make a legitimate career out of, you know, toying around with sounds and music and playing with your voice. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's about, I mean, that to us at least is probably about as good as it gets, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, really, we get paid to goof around in the studio.
So, I guess, you know, without going through every job you had, did you pretty much stay in the California or Southern California area?
I'll tell you what, I can go through every job I've had in radio right now.
Okay.
KNAC, KLOS.
Is that right? Okay. I just guessed there might have been a couple of steps in between, but when did you take the KLOS gig?
June 6th,
1994. Wow. I mean... Yeah, you know, now I'm even jealous, because, you know, there's only a couple guys, really a couple guys in America that can say they've been with, you know, a legendary station for a long time and also is at the kind of the top of their game. You know, I mean, that's just really cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it's sometimes I think, like, what's wrong with me? Why am I still here? And then other times I think, no, that's pretty cool.
I'm sorry, but seriously, have there ever been opportunities that have come up? Like, yeah, I don't know, maybe Carol Q called you, or maybe, I don't know, another humongous station said, come over here, and you turned them down?
Not really. Actually, when I took this gig, Kevin Weatherly was calling me up, and I was calling him back, but nothing ever really came of it. I would have loved to have gone to K-Rock.
Was Frost there? Did he take the job?
No, Frost was there. I think that they were contemplating like a commercial director position, not really an imaging director.
Okay.
And I think that was kind of it. But
and that'd be a good reason why you didn't take the job or didn't really.
Yeah, I mean, dude, Frost is. I'm always flattered that people, you know, people would say nice things to me about my work and stuff, but John's working on a completely different level. He's working in another solar system. Dude, I can't touch that guy.
There's a couple of guys like that, and yeah, I completely agree. It's pretty amazing. But, you know, I think that everybody needs people like that, you know. But cool. All right. So you're at KLOS in LA, and now you've been imaging that station, and that's your primary and basically your only job there, right? Just to do the voice and image the station.
Yeah, dying breed. Yeah. One guy, one station.
Yeah. Well, I'm there too, and so we already mentioned the looming deal.
I'm knocking on wood right now.
So talk about the day to day. I think we talked a week ago or so, and you were telling me that there was a time where you weren't working at the building all the time. How much of your time is actually spent at the station versus at home and that kind of deal?
I do virtually all of the studio work here at the station now. There was a kind of a transitional period where we had a third radio station here, and they had to take this studio's Studio M. So they were working out of Studio M constantly, so I had to get bumped, and I was sharing a studio with another guy, and I remember there was some technical issues. There were some times that my workstation was down. It was Pro Tools on a PC, and that was kind of fraught with problems. So, and also just sharing the studio sometimes meant that in order for me to stay productive, I would just do it at home. So at home, I have a great setup. I've got a Mac Pro, and I'm running Pro Tools 9 on it. I think I've always been current and stuff. So I would just do a lot of that stuff at home, and it worked out okay. But now I got my studio back, and we've upgraded to, a Mac, and I'm pretty happy here. This is, the same room that I got when I started in here, and I kind of consider it my little home away from home. About the only thing that I'll do at home now is, I'll write. Usually write my our weekend promos start on Wednesday, so somebody who's maybe a little bit better, faster on the scriptology of it would have something ready right after the meeting on Monday morning. Typically, I'm like pounding my head on Tuesday night, 8, 9, 10, 11 p.m. When it's starting to get that point, I'm just like, I'm going home.
Let's talk about the writing process a little bit, since you're bringing it up. You write everything that goes into the imaging there?
Yeah.
Or most of it?
So, yeah. Well, I use Shortbus, so I get a lot of ideas from them, and I'm actually starting to utilize a couple other new resources. We're actually kind of doubling up our efforts, and we're going to be having brainstorming sessions with those guys. And then a friend of mine who's a stand-up has expressed some interest in, flinging some liners over here. So I'm also working with him, because I'm good, but I'm not that clever. I mean, I do write a pretty good promo every week for the weekend, but sometimes I struggle with, at least I feel like I struggle with coming up with, zingers, staying topical and stuff. Yeah. It's a constant battle.
And in a format like that, describe the station to those who don't know what KLOS is.
Well, KLOS is pretty much a heritage classic rocker. We also we don't use that term as a primary imaging statement anymore. We're Southern California's best rock, and so that gives us the leeway to include, Offspring and...
Do you play like Linkin Park, that kind of stuff?
No Linkin Park.
Okay.
What was I thinking? A Green Day... who else? Some Kid Rock and stuff. I mean, we just kind of touch around the fringe of newer stuff. I personally would have us go a little deeper, but, that's not my thing. It's probably 80% a classic rock station. So we do use that word, but like I said, it's not our primary imaging position.
But there's a certain talent when you're writing imaging or you're branding a station. You can't be too cool for the room, but you still need to retain some edge, and you still need to appeal to men in a certain demo. I'm guessing in the neighborhood of 20 something to 50 something, maybe just 25, 54.
Yeah, that's about right. And it is an edge. You can't be too cool for the room, but you still want to be fun to listen to. You want to be a little edgy.
Yeah. But you can't do what K-Rock's doing. I mean, you can't go all the way. So I just think it's a certain talent where you can find that edge and get onto it, but you can't pass it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a subjective thing, and you know, there have been times that you know, I put something out forth, and my program director would just kind of, you know, lay off of it and go, yeah, I'm not really feeling that one, or that's I think that goes over the edge a little bit. I mean,
you've been doing this a while now, and when you have a situation like that where, you know, you feel like you just did something really good and you bring it to the table and it's like, hey man, you know, we still love you, but we're not putting that on the air. Mm-hmm. What does your brain do with that situation? How do you feel about that?
I like to think most of the time I just say, okay, you know, I've been at it too long to take it personal or get really too, you know, upset about it. Like, you know, maybe I'll fling it to the guys for the service, you know, for short bus. Maybe I'll fling it over their way or share it with somebody else. I mean, someone somewhere will use it, and it's like, you know, screw it. If we're not going to use it, then I'll, you know, it's on to the next. It's just like a voiceover audition, man. You can't even think about them.
Right.
You do them, on to the next. Forward momentum, and always, at all times.
Before we dive into the voiceover side of your world, as far as your production work goes, are you mainly just producing imaging for KLOS, or are you producing a lot of stuff for Short Bus or other you know, sources?
Yeah, very few things go towards Short Bus. I utilize their stuff more than they utilize mine. And that's just a function of me being lazy and forgetting to, you know, to send stuff to them.
Are you doing any other stations or?
No, I had in the past. It's been a while since I've done that. I used to do a lot of stuff for Y100 and in Philly, PLJ. But this is a long time ago. They haven't asked me to do anything for. I mean, their PLJ is obviously still in. Still in the family.
And they got
Scott Shannon works pretty closely with me too.
Are you still doing? Is Scott still sort of pseudo consulting the station or whatever he was doing there?
He's judo consulting. Okay. He's he's our corporate PD. I think is his official title. So every now and then it'll be get Scott on the phone, sit down, and let's tear up Stu's production.
Yeah,
and he'll be like, you know, move that sound effect over like a half a, you know, a half a second. That's just a little too tight. And I don't know if I like your voiceover guy's inflection on that half syllable there. So, you know, it's just, it doesn't pop. It doesn't pop enough. And like, he'll just beat me up. And then, you know, but it's kind of cool. I like Scott. And, you know, just as often he'll just go, that's awesome. Play that again. I just like that. And, you know, he's into it. He really loves radio, and he likes to hear. He loves to hear good production, and just gives him a buzz.
I love that about Scott. I mean, you'd think some guys like that have been to the pinnacle, you know, in the world of programming. That, you know, you think they might not put as much effort or attention into the imaging, but he still just loves it as much as anything.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The producers.
Hey, do us a favor. If we ever start playing kooky new wave records or rap in between the classic rock songs, kick our ass. Really, thanks.
From the beginning to the end,
white wedding,
and all the good stuff in between, this is 107.5 The End, AM 840. Experiment, expand, evolve. This is Philadelphia's new rock. Y100.
What do you see in the stock market right now?
And I mostly see crooks.
What's your advice?
Yeah, my advice: invest in concert tickets.
They're
worth more than money. I'm sorta.
KLOS is calling all of you alphabetically, one by one, beginning with the Aaron.
Hello.
Is this Aaron?
Aaron's in a coma, man. Hey, who is this?
Well, there you go, the KLOS workforce. A great way to prove to the world you're not in a coma.